Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake on up, wake up with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game. Barack
Purdy! Oh, my God.
I know, Paul Heyman. I know. Brock Purdy. Will he play in week two? I didn't think this was going to be the conversation at 6:07 a.m. this morning as I welcome in all you ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the Morning Roast. Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. We are fired up. God, what a week one in the NFL, capped off by an insane fourth quarter comeback yesterday with the debut of J.J. McCarthy with the Minnesota Vikings going up against the debut of Ben Johnson, head coach of the Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams. They had the double-digit lead ending in the fourth, but it was all for naught as, you know, everyone was crushing J.J. with the pick six. Yeah, he's cooked. He's done. He's over. He should have kept Sam Darnold. And then they were all deleting those tweaks, and freezing cold takes took over yesterday. It was a great thing to watch, but an incredible week one. And I hope it's an incredible week two for the 49ers, but I have some concerns. George Kittle, going to miss a couple weeks. Hamstring injury. I think we knew that. Juwan Jennings, we'll see. Looks like he's getting some second opinions on that shoulder, but I'm concerned. And then we found out that Brock Purdy has a hurt shoulder and a hurt toe, and his status for week two in New Orleans is uncertain, Joey. I'm concerned, officially. And I didn't see where it happened. There's people are floating out some videos when he got popped on the side in the pocket, trying to throw to Juwan Jennings. I don't know when it happened, but the fact that after week one, your quarterback is uncertain potentially heading into week two, it's not good. It's not good.
There were so many different videos I saw circulating. The amount of people that are breaking down all 22 film that don't even know what they're looking at is just beyond me. There's an epidemic, and we need a vaccine, as a joke, to be able to cure some of the morons that are out there putting out definitive videos when they're not in the room with the coaches. They don't even understand concepts. I wouldn't trust them to coach a high school team, let alone a professional or a college team that are putting out, this is what happened, and this is the play. And there were a couple plays where he did get hit and planted into the ground. And on one of them, he kept spinning out of trouble, Brock Purdy, that was. And I'm not even sure if that was the play. I don't even know if Kyle addressed whether that was the play or not. But, I mean, this is a problem. This is a big problem. There's two elements to this. There's obviously the Brock Purdy shoulder, which is the non-throwing shoulder.
Correct, the left shoulder.
And, like, with that comes its own issues. Then you have the toe, which I've seen firsthand one of the gladiators of the franchise, Patrick Willis. First ballot gladiator. If we were talking all toughness team, all time. It's Ronnie Lott, it's Patrick Willis, right? This guy's played with broken hands, broken arms. You know, the club was what he was known for. The toe injury did in his career. So we could A toe is a big problem. We've talked about the connectivity of the bottom of the foot to the rest of the leg and the hip and everything like that. And so we have two injuries here for Brock Purdy. Were they avoidable? Don't know. But I come back to the same thing. Kyle Shanahan's principle, his philosophy has been different than what I like. I'm a believer in the Harbaugh way. The offensive line is the tip of the spear. And when you have an opportunity to draft high linemen, then they got to be the right players. But when you have an opportunity to draft those guys, you invest in that offensive line. After you find the quarterback, after you pay for the quarterback, of course you want skill position players to be around them. But you better protect that individual. And we knew for the last couple of years that they have basically tried to go to the Walmart and get a guard, get a center, get another guard. And they've been lucky with the trade of Trent Williams, because he was a premium player when they traded for him. And he's been a great player for them the last couple of years. He had a bad game. By every metric, my eyeball, by PFF, by everybody that rates these things.
Greg Olsen on the broadcast?
Yeah, Greg Olsen on the broadcast. Dominic Pooney was a good pick, fourth rounder. They gave Colton McKivitz money, so that's solid. I mean, right tackles are hard to find. He's kind of in the middle of the pack in terms of right tackles, but they have failed to invest in that left guard and center spot, knowing that Aaron Banks was going to leave. And this has been an issue. Like, this has been an issue for the Niners, and keeping your smaller statured quarterback, you know, healthy in the pocket, I just feel like they haven't planned for it appropriately, given that he's a pocket quarterback who can make plays outside of structure. You need to be able to set that guy up for success, and they have failed to put an infrastructure on that offensive line to my liking, I think to most fans' liking. And I'm not surprised that Brock got dinged up already.
888-957-9570. That's the number. We would love your participation today. We got a stacked show for you, ladies and gentlemen. We got Brian Baldinger joining us at 7:30 every single Tuesday, Baldy Days, 7:30. And then, right after Baldy, we got Bonte Hill in studio for 2 hours, not one, but 2 hours. Bonte Hill, courtesy of River Islands, in studio from 8 to 10. Again, that's going to be every single Tuesday. Baldy, then Bonte. Can't wait to break it all down with both those guys today. And again, with you as well, 888-957-9570.
You know, Joe, the first half, I must have written down and tweeted out and texted to you guys, like, Brock's running for his life right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's a byproduct of two things. Number one, it's early. And for most teams in the NFL, the first few weeks, because of the lack of preseason, is going to effectively be a preseason. Like, that's what we're seeing. We are seeing a work in progress. And you're going to see, over the first month of the year, more and more of football is going to look like, you know, helter-skelter, scattershot, than it is going to be buttoned up. And I think that that's a byproduct of just the lack of playing in the preseason. So just put that there. Then you've got, like, the way that this offensive line was put together, and the fact that Trent missed a couple of plays, and then Pooney missed a couple of plays, and they haven't gelled altogether. I mean, how many weeks has Trent participated full week?
Oh, God.
One?
Oh.
Two?
It's been a while.
And I understand why you want to have a player who's older like him on a pitch count, but it's not been great for their cohesiveness up front. I thought over and over again Mike McDonald got a free blitzer coming at Brock, and a lesser quarterback would have been sacked, tagged, hit, pounded significantly more than what Brock did in that first half alone. I thought he was brilliant in getting rid of the ball, diagnosing where that hot was coming from, and trying to make that first guy miss. But, like, you're setting him up to get injured. And I'm not blaming Shanahan on this one. To me, it's just his philosophy's got to adjust. Moving forward, they have got to make the offensive line a priority. And I just don't think that they have.
Niner fans, your concern level with this Brock Purdy news, hurt toe and non-throwing shoulder heading into a massive week. Before you head back home to play on the Cardinals, you got to take care of business in New Orleans first. And I don't care who it is. It could be the Saints, it could be the Panthers, it could be the Chiefs. I'm not sleeping on anyone in their home turf. And they played the Cardinals tough last week, too. I know it's Spencer Rattler, so we're all sleeping on him. Oh, you can play Mac Jones and be fine. Yeah, but Mac Jones ain't as mobile as Brock Purdy. I'm just telling you that right now. We were talking about that before the show. There's parts of me that was like, that's curious, but also, I don't want to have to see Mac Jones if I'm a Niner fan. I don't want to see that. That's the worst case scenario this week.
If you had a more robust offensive line, I get the intrigue of wanting to see Mac Jones. Mac Jones would have probably been sacked, what, half dozen times in the first half?
Absolutely.
And I like Mac as a backup. I do. I think Mac is a capable backup. But this offensive line is a work in progress right now. Especially, and again, I'm giving them a little more leeway because you don't plan the preseason. And I think that we need to adjust what we're doing in the preseason so that we're a little more ready for the regular season. But This Brock thing's not good. It's not one. It's two different things, and it's week one.
Well, it's not only your quarterback now, Joe. It was your best. You're literally your best player of all last season, offense or defense, is now out for probably 3 weeks. They didn't put him on injured reserve, George Kittle I'm talking about, which would have been at minimum four. So maybe they think he can come back prior to that.
Ugh.
So you're out George Kittle, who, again, was your best player, second-team All-Pro on offense last year. He was insane. He was already looking like he was replicating that in those first couple drives. And then, Juwan Jennings. Status unknown. Maybe he's getting a second opinion. We were kind of talking about it yesterday, Joe. Hopefully he doesn't need surgery. I don't know what it is. Is it a dislocation? They said maybe, you know, he could play. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. So not only is your top target out for a couple weeks, now your top wide receiver, potentially, at least last year, Juwan Jennings could be out this week. And then you're talking about your quarterback, setting him up, you know, for success, already with a shaky offensive line, missing both of those guys. How's Christian McCaffrey going to look now after all that workload he had in week one? There's a lot of question marks after a win.
Well,
right?
See, no doubt. There's no doubt. Let's play this out on Kittle, though. We'll go. I have a lot of questions on the Purdy thing, but like the Kittle thing, you're saying a couple weeks. I think he should go on IR. Mm. That's what I would do.
Well, they should have put him there, right? Like, so they.
A couple days to figure. They got to figure out what's going on with Juwan Jennings. Mm. So I think before you make a move, I think you're just kind of letting the dust settle on this. But like, let's play this out. You think a couple of weeks, right? That's what you're thinking.
Probably. I'm saying a minimum three for Kittle, probably. That's what we were talking. Like, when you get out immediately, we were talking about it yesterday, Joe. That's grade one strain, it sounds like.
Okay, so if day one was Sunday, September 7th, one full week would be this Sunday, all right? Saints game. So for sure he's missing that one, all right?
Yeah.
So I just put miss on that. You got the Cardinals. That would be two exact weeks to the injury on the 21st.
He's out.
He's missing that one.
Yeah.
Well, after the Cardinals, you get the Jags. That would be three full weeks. Okay, 3 weeks. And then on a short week, I've been talking about this, you got the Rams on a Thursday.
Mm.
So to me, there's not a chance in hell he's playing in the Jaguar game and then turning around and playing a couple days later. Guys, the hamstring could get re-aggravated at any point. I would, look, as much as I want him to play, as much as I know he wants to play, I think throwing him on IR, he misses the 4 weeks, then you get the long break after the Rams game. You don't play again until October 12th. If I was running things, and again, I'm not some, you know, Dr. Narav Pandya. I'm definitely not Kyle Shanahan. That seems way more realistic to me than him rushing back to get back for three full weeks for the Jags game, turning around and playing on that Thursday. I don't think that's reasonable.
Does it sound insane that I am more concerned about George Kittle than I am with Brock Purdy right now? And I get it. Brock Purdy's the quarterback, but like my
Both, Joe.
Am I concerned? Like, this guy's older. In a hamstring injury? I mean, we just saw with 39-year-old, 38-year-old Stephen Curry, like, that could be the difference between making the playoffs or not losing a guy like George Kittle for that amount of time. Now, I'm not saying it is. People got to step up. It was great that Tonjes, you know, he was the hero of the game. That's awesome. I can't expect him to do that again next week. I can't expect, you know, Luke Farrell, a guy that was signed to be a blocking tight end, to replicate what George Kittle does. George Kittle, what makes him so special is not only the blocking, it's the pass-catching ability, Joe, that, quite frankly, outside of maybe Brock Bowers and Travis Kelce at his peak, Trey McBride maybe, like that's it. Those are the only other players I could think of on his level when he is at his best. You just don't find guys like that.
Hamstrings linger.
Yes.
For months. Months. We're going to compare yourself to professional athletes.
No, I've played Miami. It sucks. You can't do anything. Like, you can't.
But we've watched sports long enough. Even when you return from a hamstring strain, you don't go 110% all the way out. You in the back of your mind, you're not ready to kick it into that next gear.
Well, I was watching the game yesterday on Monday Night Football in Chicago between the Vikings and the Bears, and Blake Cashman, one of their stud linebackers, literally pulled up trying to chase after Caleb. And they literally... Not 5 minutes after, out. Just out. Hamstring injury. So I was like, damn. Like, you could see it in real time. And it's just that it's one of those injuries, the soft tissue ones, that you can't do anything about it. Like, you know, no amount of injections, PRP, stem cells is going to, you know, exacerbate the process of getting back. It's just not one of those things.
Joe, to me, it's automatic. You throw him on the IR. That's what I'm doing. Because I'm not having him come back on the 28th, rush back, re-aggravate something, whatever, and or even just turn around and play on October 2nd against the Rams. The date I'm circling, and this is just me, I think the conservative date is October 12th. That sounds insane, but this is probably going to be a fickle lost year for George Kittle. And that sucks.
A lost year for Kittle after signing that contract would be brutal.
Like, he missed not one day of training camp. It just happens. It sucks.
See, it's so funny.
Joe, it's just sports.
It's not funny, but like that's not the right word. But it, you know, we're talking about Juwan Jennings missing training camp, right? Gets hurt. And a lot of people probably attribute that. He'd missed some time, wasn't in game shape. I don't know. He gets his shoulder hurt. Okay. Then you have George Kittle. Plays all of training camp, gets some sniffs out there, plays some of the preseason, and then gets hurt. Like, it's you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And Warren Sharp actually posted this, and I really like Warren Sharp. Sharp football, guy knows his stuff, football analysis. He tweeted this out. It was just 49ers health by season. 2024, number one most injured team in the NFL. 2023, number 29 most injured. They were 12-5. Lost in the Super Bowl.
Very healthy, but the health of that year I felt like carried over and was part of why they got more banged up the following year. Just my you play 20 something games, you know, they play 21 games or whatever that year, like, and each one of them was tooth and nail.
And as we know from the quarterback doc or the wide receiver doc, not only Debo but George Kittle were laboring in that Super Bowl, and they lost Ray Greenlaw. Like,
and CMC apparently had calf stuff going into that Super Bowl, which we've now learned about.
Exactly. 2022, they were the number 9 most injured team, 13-4, lost in the NFC Championship game. Obviously, you lose your quarterback there. Brutal. 2021, number 3 most injured team. 2020, number 1 most injured, and that goes back to that COVID season, the MetLife Stadium.
How?
2019, the 6th most injured, 13-3, lost in the Super Bowl. 2018, number 4 most injured.
So, okay, during the Shanahan tenure, they've been top 6 in most injured, except one year.
Yes. They were at least top 10, so let's do that, because they were number 9 in 2022. Okay. At the bare minimum, they've been in the top 10 every single year outside of 2023, when they made the Super Bowl and lost.
I don't know what to make of that. I don't know. I don't know how anyone could have a good, like, okay, yes, football gets you injured. Yes. Like, we know that, right? It's like you bake a lasagna, you better put some ricotta in there, right? That is one of the ingredients of football. It's violent, and it's going to get you hurt. Why are you smiling?
I substitute cream cheese, which is a cardinal sin amongst Italian households, but it has a higher fat content. Continue.
I love ricotta. We know it's baked in to the product. The game is violent. Guys are going to get hurt. But when you go around the league and it's relative to the other teams, the fact that they're in the top 10 so often, I don't know what to make of that. I don't know if I should, like, for example, is it the training staff's, like, fault George Kittle got hurt in week one? Yeah. Or is it he's old?
It's a combination.
Or is it just random?
Well, that's what I'm getting at, too. And it kind of pisses me off. Like, and yesterday, and I've gotten to a point, Joe, where I am sick of blaming Kyle Shanahan. He's running McCaffrey into the ground. Well, dude, if the training staff is telling he's healthy, the doctors are saying he's healthy, he's saying he's good to go, what do you want the guy to do? Just not play him at all? If everyone's telling you he's good to go, what are we supposed to do?
Joe, every guy in every sport is managing some sort of pain, soreness. You know, every sport.
Yes.
Whether we're watching tennis over the weekend, whether we're watching all these baseball pitchers. We found out after the fact Randy Rodriguez has been pitching in pain for a year. A year. Now, you talk to David Sampson, he'll tell you every single pitcher in baseball, if they do an MRI on their elbow, there's going to be stuff.
Inflammation.
For every single pitcher in baseball. Yes. Okay? Imagine what it is for football players.
Oh, they always have. Well, that's why I love hockey. It's just a lower body injury. They just don't even say what it is. Like, there's hurt everywhere, but we'll just specify half the body or not. By the way, shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the deal. I'm glad you mentioned the Giants. We got something cool going on with the Giants on the other side. I will tell everyone about. By the way, we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Baldy 7:30, Bonte 8:00. We're talking about it all. Brock Purdy, left shoulder is hurting. His toe is hurting. Niners are hurting. They're 1-0, though. Do Do you play the quarterback this week, or do you protect him from himself? 888-957-9570 is the number, and that's what's coming up, brought to you by Cache Creek Casino Resort.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Exactly. But that's just a life thing. I just feel like this society is just, you don't realize it. Like the way people talk about each other, it's just, it's unreal.
Well, people don't want to hear about injuries, I guess, this morning. But when the quarterback comes away from a week one win and he's hurt, we got to talk about it. When
not only the quarterback, the Hall of Fame tight end.
The Hall of Fame tight end. Your number one wide receiver last year
has
a shoulder injury. The list goes on and on and on. And I tell you, 2024, they were the most injured team last season. 2022, the ninth most. 2021, the third most.
I don't know what to make of that.
2020, the number one most. Like, why?
Why
do the 49ers keep having to deal with this many injuries? And maybe it's just after week one, and it more so than any other team that I could think of right now. And again, we are viewing it through a Niners lens. We aren't as tapped in on the Indianapolis Colts, on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Carolina Panthers. Just enter Team X. We're not going to be as tapped in on the injury reports of those teams weekly. Now we have fantasy football, the big boys, sure. But we are locked in on the 49ers. And it just feels like, Joe, more so than any other team in the NFL, the injury bug strikes this team the most.
So okay,
it feels like that.
If I were to just write down, don't get triggered by these. I'm just going to write down.
Oh boy,
what could the plausible reasons be? These are hypothetical. We're all in a room and we're brainstorming. Okay, I'm going to start writing them down. Is it the style of play on either side of the ball? Are they too physical? Are they too finesse? Is it the way they train? Is it the way they practice? Is it the way they prepare their body in between practices and games? Is it nutrition? Is it playing surface? Is it not playing surface, meaning you're playing on the wrong kind of surface? I don't know. Is it something stretching related? Like, I'm talking about, like, literally the way you stretch and prepare for practices and games. Is it hydration related? I'm dead serious. Where can I keep going? How many more ways can I keep going?
Can I just...
Is it malpractice on some level? I don't think it's any of those things. I think it's all of it.
There's one you didn't mention.
What's that?
And is it a cop-out if I say this? Maybe they're just unlucky? Does that sound like maybe they're just unlucky? Does anyone want to buy that?
Well, luck is an element of sports.
It is.
People don't want to hear it.
They might just be like, sometimes that happens to like great teams where they just got an untimed injury and it sucks and they were unlucky and stuff like that happens. Oh, who's it? I was watching the Cowboy doc. You know, the Bills losing their corner, Jim Kelly, right? And one of the first iteration when they played each other.
Yeah.
Like, he
blew his knee out.
Like, that sucks.
Okay. Is it they have too many older players that are on their third and fourth contracts? I'm asking out loud, okay?
See, the Kittle one, like, that one almost, like, if you take a step back, it kind of makes sense only because he's getting older. He's going to be
31-year-old tight end.
He's going to be 32 next month.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he was a lot of wear and tear there. He's only missed, I think, four games last couple seasons. Like, he has been a model citizen from a health standpoint for this team for the most part. Given the nature of that position, Joe, and he's a blocking tight end, the fact that he stayed upright for this long has been shocking. So that one, I could kind of take a step back and say, you know what? Maybe that the writing was on the wall there. It could have happened. Now, it sucks. I'm not saying it doesn't, but I could kind of talk myself into that one. Purdy? Still pretty young. Like, and this is when it gets back to protecting your quarterback and not investing as much. And I know you've been on this for a long time, in the offensive line. And major question marks for him because, and I'm going to shout out Sam Lubman, he did a deep dive on the injury history of one Brock Purdy dating back to his college day, Joe. And I do want to get to it at some point because I don't want to label him with this, but
no,
we could be approaching injury-prone territory with the quarterback, and I don't like saying that.
Well, all these guys, like if you watch you know, Peyton Manning try to walk today. How many injuries did Peyton Manning have in his 20 years?
Dude, after the neck surgery, I didn't know if he'd be able to play again.
Yeah, I mean, he walks differently, as he talks about. You talked about this last night. So I don't think this is only Purdy related, but there is an element of, like, when you meet a guy like Carson Palmer. I got to meet Carson Palmer. Not one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, a good player.
He was good.
He was the largest human being I've ever seen in my life. His forehead was humongous. Humongous.
That's just that USC education.
Now, that doesn't mean you can't be a good player. I've seen Joe Montana in person. He's a small guy. You're, like, almost kind of shocked as to how small he is. And that's why he got hurt over and over and over again. And only,
size
as I go in quotations, only played, you know, the 15 years in the league. Also, the style of play at that time, the rules, the surfaces they were playing on. You know, you play on old veteran stadium and the old Meadowlands. Like, you're playing on concrete. So there's many reasons why Joe didn't sustain. But he battled so many injuries throughout his career. Smaller guys are going to get dinged up. Big guys can get dinged up too. Don't get me wrong, but like there is something that why Brock Purdy is jumping in the pocket to throw the ball. So that's an element which gets me back to why you should invest in your offensive line even more. Why it should be a priority. But Joe, on the injury thing, I don't think you can blame Shanahan solely. I don't. All right. I don't think you can blame the coaching staff, the training staff, the organization. I don't even know if you could blame the players. But if I was a part of that organization and this were any other industry, what would they do to figure out what the problem is? They would hire an outside consultant to audit whatever they're doing from top to bottom, come through all the plausible scenarios, and they would at least bring someone in from the outside to evaluate what they're doing and contrast that to other teams in the league who aren't as injured. And they would try to find either inconsistencies or consistencies, and they would at least evaluate their go-to-market strategy on training. Would they not?
They would. And just playing catch up right now, if you're just joining us, George Kittle going to be out for the next couple weeks due to a hamstring injury. He was not put yet on IR, injured reserve, which is a minimum 4 games missed. So he's not on there yet. Doesn't mean he can't be put on there. But for now, looking like a couple weeks, maybe 2 to 3 for Kittle. Brock Purdy dealing with a non-throwing shoulder injury. So that's his left shoulder and a toe injury. And this is what Kyle Shanahan had to say about it yesterday on his conference call.
One of those two Purdy injuries more severe than the other, and he in risk of missing a start or two?
I'd probably say the toe's worse than the shoulder.
And what about his availability this week?
Yeah, we're not sure. We got to see how it heals and how the week goes on it.
So uncertain, we'll say. He has to see how the big toe is. He's not really concerned as much with the shoulder than the toe. And again, I keep reiterating this, you're going to be playing on artificial turf this week at the Superdome. Not good for the feet, Joe. And not good for a guy who was running for his life, quite frankly, last week. And if he is even a step slower, Joe, those ones where he can escape and either pick up a first down or pick up a couple yards or scramble to throw a game-winning touchdown on Tonjes, those are sacks. Those are throwaways. Those are negative plays, potentially, with just a slight step lost with a toe injury. So that is massive. I know we kind of like to laugh. You know, I do it all the time. This is like the softest injury in sports is like a blister with a pitcher. But it affects everything.
It's not, though.
No, I know. But like it just sounds in like, because we compare it to football injuries. Like, oh, these guys are dealing with ruptured spleens.
I know, but it's the gripping of the ball. You literally can't spin the ball.
I know, but it's just, you're just like, we all get blisters is what I'm saying. So like the average Joe is going to be like,
Joe,
oh,
if you got a blister. If you got a ridiculous blister on your finger and you were a surgeon, okay,
oh,
you wouldn't be able to do the job.
I know. Well, this is why I'm getting at here. Just the toe injury, because people are going to be scoffing, oh, it's a toe, it sounds so soft. No, the entire quarterback position is predicated on what? Your feet. Being able to step up in the pocket, being able to plant those feet, being able to jump cut, be able to move around, slide step. It's all predicated. Why did Bill Walsh love Joe Montana so much, Joe?
The feet.
There you go.
There's a bunch of articles about turf toe and why it's such an aggravating and difficult injury to overcome. And one of the things is like, it plays tricks on you. You think it's good to go. You rehab for, you know, maybe a couple of weeks and you're like, oh, it's good. It's good. It's good. You go out there, you run around and then one cut in the wrong direction and it gets re-aggravated and you're back on the shelf. And it can affect how you run. It can affect your other foot because you're overcompensating for not putting too much pressure on it. This is not a great injury at all. I'm equally as disturbed over the shoulder and the toe.
All right. On the other side, we're going to continue this conversation. Baldy, 7:30. Bonte at 8 o'clock. Again, every single Tuesday going forward, we're going to have a double dose of Brian Baldinger and Bonte Hill talking all things 49ers. By the way, we're also going to give you two chances to win a pair of tickets today to Saturday night's Giants-Dodgers game. First 15,000 fans get a free Giants-49ers-themed jersey. And we will give away the first pair coming back from out of the break at around 7:18. So be listening around 7:18, 7:20-ish for that first chance to win a pair there. And another pair in the 8 o'clock hour where we'll be playing What Did Baldy Say? So you got to be paying attention to that Brian Baldinger for that second chance in order to win. You have to be the first caller and answer a question about what Baldy said when he joined us again at 7:30. Also, coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, the Valkyries are taking on the Seattle Storm, and you can hear the game right here on 95.7 The Game and on the Valkyries channel via the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. You can also watch the game on KPIX Plus. Pre-game starts at 6:30. What's coming up with the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. What do you make of the 49ers injuries, Niner fans? Are they just unlucky? Is there something more to this? They've been in the top 10 in injuries when it comes to all the other NFL teams. One, two, three, four, five, six times. Six times in the last 7 years. Is it something or is it nothing? We'll talk about it on the other side. Again, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I hate saying this out loud into a microphone. There's a lot of earthquake weather going on right now.
What?
Yeah, earthquake weather is, like, to me, when it's, like, super humid and maybe the outside settings actually don't reflect the humidity. It looks either overcast or foggy or cold or whatever. We call that earthquake weather, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
That's what we call it.
I just looked that up quick just to let AI, there's no
you can do whatever you want on AI. I'm telling you what okay. We talk about locally.
Okay. The idea of earthquake weather with its origins in ancient Greece likely arose because people have a natural desire to find patterns in unpredictable events such as earthquakes, while statistics show that earthquakes are equally distributed all across all types of weather. Kind of like the 49ers injury history. It's unpredictable.
Stop using AI. This is called local knowledge.
It sounds like the earthquake weather is very similar to the 49ers injuries, and maybe there's just, you know, we're trying to find a pattern. That's what we want to do, and maybe they're just unlucky. It's just unpredictable. All right, and that's injuries in sports and in football. It's a violent game, and we're trying to find patterns here to fit certain narratives. Is it Kyle Shanahan? Is it the training staff? Is it the turf that they're playing? I don't know.
No, but you would, if you were running a business that was worth $10 billion, you would hire someone from the outside if you had a specific problem with whatever it was with your employees and it kept reoccurring and you didn't have answers. You would hire a firm from the outside in to at least analyze what is the competitor doing and why are they able to stay more efficient, more healthy, whatever the thing is that you're looking to diagnose, you would hire someone from the outside to kind of just evaluate what you're doing from top to bottom and compare and contrast that to everyone else in the league.
Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. We're going to hear from Kyle Shanahan more from his media conference call yesterday, talking about the Kittle and the Brock Purdy and the Juwan Jennings injuries.
And Joe, they might come back to you and say, there's nothing you can do. It is just unfortunate or luck or whatever word you want to use to describe it. Now, on toe injuries, turf toe is a very loose term.
Mm.
Okay?
I never knew what that meant. Yeah, can you
basically
explain
the big,
it
it's like
me.
The big toe. And it can be from a strain to a type of bruise. I mean, it's a widely used kind of phrase, if you will. It's like saying, I got a sprained knee. I mean, what's the degree and how severe is it? And, you know, how bad was the blow? And was it a traumatic blow? Was it a tweak? But basically, they did a deep dive between 2010 and 2015, okay? And the average per year, you have about 71 toe injuries, okay, per year. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Now, but that includes practice squad players. This is back when. And 29 of these injuries were on grass, 29 on turf, 13 unidentified. The average missed time was 3 1/3 games. 9 players placed on injured reserve, 8 required surgery, 16 offensive players. Like they did this whole deep dive. Right? So it could be a game, it could be 8 games, it could be somewhere in between. Oh. Who knows? It's a very unknown injury.
And it's not just going to go away. That's the thing. Like as we know about toes, I mean, we like to walk every single day. You can't do anything without them. And he's not going to be able to be the same quarterback if he's dealing with a nagging injury like this. Now you can take some pain medication, but eventually, as we've talked about, it connects everything. The feet, it connects, it's just a trickle-down effect of everything. And I am very concerned about this game in particular because, again, he's not going to be playing on natural grass this week. It's going to be played on a rubber surface with rubber pellets that do not have enough give. And there is something to be said about the lower leg injuries, whether it's knee, feet, calves, whatever. There is a correlation between those types of surfaces and soft tissue types of injury. Now, I don't know how much of a soft tissue this injury is. Is it the bone? I have no idea. Kyle Shanahan, again, talking about Brock Purdy's toe/shoulder injuries. Matty Barrows, The Athletic, asking the question.
One of those two Purdy injuries more severe than the other, and he in risk of missing a start or two?
I'd probably say the toe's worse than the shoulder.
And what about his availability this week?
Yeah, we're not sure. We got to see how it heals and how the week goes on it.
Okay, so that's on Brock.
That's not good.
What's going on with Juwan Jennings, Kyle, and his shoulder?
How severe Juwan Jennings' shoulder injury could be?
No, the MRI was good. We're just waiting for a CT.
All right. George Kittle, hurt hamstring. You think he's going to have to go on IR, Kyle?
I mean, when they tell me a few weeks, you know, it's always a possibility. I mean, in order to do that, it's got to be a 4-week injury. So I don't think we've decided on that yet.
And finally, any reports on Christian McCaffrey or Trent Williams?
Yeah, I got no reports on either of them today. So I'm sure they're normal soreness from a physical football game, but their injuries were no reports on them. So that means they're good.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better today. Albeit Trent Williams' performance in week one didn't give me a lot of faith going forward. Hopefully he bounces back. He is a Hall of Famer after all, but he's also getting older. Kind of like we were talking about with George Kittle. A reason why, you know, we could point to here with the soft tissue injury, it's going to be 32 next month. There's a lot of wear and tear on that body. Like, those things happen. Like, I don't want to sit here and sound like we were shocked when the Steph Curry injury happened. What did we all talk about? All that workload he had in that first round against the Houston Rockets. Not saying it's like for like the same thing, but when you get older, those injuries happen. That's baked into the equation, Joe. Similar with George Kittle. Now, it sucks because he played all in training camp and he was contributing. That one I could wrap my head around. It's the Brock Purdy one that has me the most concerned right now. After we just paid him to be the highest paid player in the history of the franchise, he's got a toe injury in week one. And that's not something I think is just going to go away.
Well, and another shoulder injury, too.
Yes.
Which that ended his elbow and shoulder kind of ended his year
and
last
thankfully
year.
Thankfully, it's the non-throwing one, but doesn't mean it's any less painful. Like, right? Like, and he has to, like, move it around.
Why did Jeff Garcia get released from the 49ers 20 years ago?
Tell me why.
It's accumulation of injuries.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happened. He just got too hurt. They were expensive, all these players. Him, Hurst, T.O., they were going through a reset. But, like, if we boil it down, injuries. The body gave out on him.
And how big was Jeff Garcia?
About Brock Purdy size. A little taller, little skinnier, but about Brock size. And similar play style.
And Drew Brees, similar. A guy that kind of stayed healthy for most of his career. But remember, early on, San Diego Chargers days, he was getting hurt a lot. People had a lot of question marks there.
I go Jimmy G. Jimmy G, like, why was Jimmy G not the quarterback, and why did they move up to go get Trey Lance? You could say, hey, the coach was frustrated with the play, and that was a part of it. It was the injuries.
You couldn't trust the body holding up. You just couldn't. That was the big part of it.
And physically, today, Jimmy Garoppolo is a lesser version physically than what he was 2019.
Absolutely. Now he is the backup of Matt Stafford, who is also dealing with injuries.
So you've got like this whole Brock thing of like the injuries and stuff. And so I just ask these questions out loud. Forget New Orleans and how good you think they are. We all agree you can't sleep on any opponent in the NFL. So just, this is not about New Orleans. If you're worried about your quarterback, even a little, in the NFL, who is your franchise quarterback that you just paid, do you even want to see him play on Sunday? I think if he wants to suit up and he wants to play, you play him. But I also understand having a long-term view of, hey, you know, you got to protect him. You got to do what's right. I just think about, hey, if Josh Allen's ready to go, he plays. If Burrow's ready to go, he plays. If Lamar's ready to go, he plays. If Purdy is ready to go and he wants to play, I play him. Because I don't know if come week 15, 16, 17, you're still in it. We don't know. So while the season is still fresh and still ready to go, I understand trying to be patient and you have to take the pragmatic long-term view. It's week to week. And if he's good to go, I think you got to play him.
By the way, be listening in the 7 o'clock hour around when we're coming back around 7:18. You're going to want to be listening for this sounder, Carter. Because that's going to be your first opportunity to win a pair of tickets for the Saturday night Giant Dodgers game. So be listening around then. Plus, you'll have another opportunity in the 8 o'clock hour, but you got to be listening to the show and know Brian Baldinger and what he says during the 7:30 interview we have with him. So between 7:30, 8 o'clock, we have Baldy on. He's going to say something. You got to be paying attention. We're going to ask a question about said interview in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll hit the sounder. Call then to the contest line. In the meantime, people want to talk injuries.
Yeah,
right,
let's,
now,
let's
Joey,
talk to him.
Let's go to the phones. Doug is in Wichita.
What's up, Doug?
The conversation. What's up, Doug?
Hey, good morning, guys. Bang, bang, Niner gang, right?
Huh. Yeah, well, so, they're banged up Niner
bang,
gang.
Bang, bang, Gurney gang.
Yeah, that too. That as well. So the difference between being hurt and being injured, I get the impression Purdy's hurt. That's okay. It's not his throwing shoulder. The toe, well, like Shanahan said, remains to be seen, I guess. But if he feels like he can go, he needs to be out there. Definitely needs to be out there.
I'm with you.
I think Kittle's actually injured. And my strategy would be what y'all was talking about, even going through and not trying to get him ready for the Rams. I think that's what we need him back by. Like, if he comes up, says, hey, I'm ready to go, man, you throw him in there. And that game right there, I think we can get with the Cardinals with or without him. Not worried about that. I know they're kind of a thorn in our side or whatnot. But the Rams game is the one where I'm like, nah, don't want it. If we can go full strength or as close to it as we can, we got to do it.
What about the game 3 days or 4 days before that, the Jaguar game on the 28th? Would you not have him play in that game?
Hey, if I'm coach and he's telling me, coach and guys, I'm ready to roll, I go with my athlete, man.
Okay.
They know their bodies. We know that.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.